till you hear the final mix.
Well, Tom has a wonderful ear for this. I remember reading about when he was in the record store. For instance, he had the record store order a bunch of copies of I Fall to Pieces, I think it was, by Patsy Cline, which was a huge kind of like flop. And then suddenly, like almost a year later, when it caught on and you were the only record store that had it, you were just
exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they reminded me every day, like, hey, see those 500 records down there?
Uh-huh. But you were right. And you were right about this song, too. It's just amazing.
Oh, that is an amazing song.
It is. And I will point out that we're at 10:51, and I have a couple of tracks I want to run. I'm going to have to work with my producer to know. We have Love Changes, and we have Changes. If we had to choose between those, you guys, which one would I choose?
Love Changes, everything.
Right.
How long does that run? I'm asking production. He'll tell me. Can we fit in Love Changes? Do you have a time factor on that track? Well, I'll tell you what. If it overruns the show, we'll just fade at the end of the show. If not, we're going to be back. But okay, great. 4 minutes. Okay, so it's about 4 minutes. Okay, perfect. So let's go ahead and run that. And can you tell us just very briefly about this song? Why did you choose that, Ernest?
We were going for something different, and I heard this groove, and Tom heard the exact same thing, and he said, again, we're going to make Ernest Cole a little funky and give him something different. So this is what we did.
And I assume Tom had a huge hand in this?
Huge.
Was it a shaking fist?
No, it was actually more like he was, like, really into this song.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and get that in. I certainly don't want to miss it. This track is called Love Changes, and I'll ask Bob to go ahead and run that for us now. Thank you. Wow. Now, that had to be Pepper Maché.
That is indeed.
Unmistakable. That was amazing song. Such energy.
To tell you about Pepper, we did a song that she and I wrote together called Happy New Year that the label's re-releasing again this season that has become a perennial New Year's turbocharged party hit. And I hopefully you'll love it. It'll be out in December. And we both sing our butts off on it. She sings back up for me again. And I hope you love it.
Okay, well, we're rapidly nearing the end, and I don't want to just go see you bye and then hang up on you, but I do want to get in a couple of questions just quickly. One, there was a question about the percussion. Is that the percussion, was it live or was it Memorex for the last couple of songs? You know what I mean by Memorex. Was it
Tom?
The machines.
I think it was Memorex.
Memorex, okay. Memorex is the industry standard at this point. And also, VJC is asking a question about a background. There's a background, a classic song regarding this last track. I think that's the one he's referring to.
Classic song?
VJC is saying it has a background for a classic song, Ask Tom. I don't have...
No, I don't know. Well, I don't know who's singing background on that. Isn't it you? And
it was me. It was Arif. It was Dean and Jerry.
Oh, okay.
He may have meant it in a historical reference. You guys, I have to tell you, I have had a ball this evening. You guys have just entertained the hell out of me. I've loved it.
Thank you so much.
The chat room has loved it. You know, Tom, with you, I could have a two-hour show just talking about technical stuff with you. There's been questions about, you know, the technical aspects of, you know, what happens and how do you increase the energy on the vinyl and, you know, why, you know, moving the grooves. There's all kind of technical stuff going on here that we would love to talk to you about. Ernest, we haven't scratched the surface with you. We have to do a show. We have to do a show at some point regarding just the theater. I want to hear all about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, that's just...
Well, I got to tell you, there's two new projects that have been brought to the table for me, so I'd love to come on and do a show on theater because it looks like I'm going to be doing theater.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to have to wrap.
Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your conscience is? It's 10 o'clock in Chicago. It's a beautiful, cold day out. The way it should be, weather should be cold. Nice and brisk, nice and brisk, nice and cool. Get you up, get you going, get your blood flowing. I hate hot weather. I hate really sunny, hot, nasty, weathery, sweaty days. I hate that stuff. Give me a little brisk cold any day. If I need to put a sweater on, I could put a damn sweater on. And it's wonderful. I love Chicago. I love the weather. I love the feel of the city. I love being in a big city. I love being out of the suburbs and love being away from the sticks. I love being a place where things happen. I love being in a city with the tallest building in the United States of America. I love being in a city with the wonderful lake right next to it with a beautiful skyline. I love life. Life has tossed me a lot of crap. Ladies and gentlemen, life has really cost me a lot of crap, but you know what? I'm still here. A lot of people wonder, you know, why I have such a laid-back attitude about things when you consider all the crap that I go through, being you know, broke all the time, on the verge of homelessness. How can I be the way I am? How can I just seem like I don't give a crap, don't give a damn about anything? Well, the big reason is that if I started to give too much of a crap about it, I'd start pulling my hair out and be bouncing off the walls somewhere. Because, you know, the stress would just get to me. I cannot let the stress get to me. But I did get some good news today on the home front. Now, I am working, as some of you know, if you listen to the show regularly. And if you haven't heard my show before, if you're new to me in this time slot, and I really just started this time slot kind of sort of this week. I really kind of sort of started last week, but I didn't have that many shows because things kept getting in the way. But if you've never listened to me before, let me explain something very, very simple. Okay? For those of you who are regular listeners, just bear with me because you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again for the benefit of those people who haven't heard me before, who aren't familiar with me. I'm going to say it straight out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, when I say something on this show, when I talk about something on the show, if I give an opinion about something, if I say anything on the show, I say it because I mean it. I say it because I believe it. I am not going to say something just to yank somebody's chain. I mean, that doesn't mean to say I don't want to yank your chain, because there's chains out there that need to be yanked, if you know what I mean. But I'm going to say, if I say it, I'm not saying it just to get a rise out of people, because that's what the right wing does a lot. And I see this on a lot of right wing stations. They'll just get in there and just say whatever, just to see what kind of reaction they can get. Now, I granted, obviously this is a radio show, and I'm here to inform, but I'm also here to entertain to a certain extent, and I hope I do that, and there are days that I do that better than other days. But I just want you to know and understand that where I'm coming from. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. It's not necessary to agree with me all the time. In fact, I think it would be rather wrong of you to agree with me. You're not a bunch of ditto heads. I hate that phrase, and it really is amazing to me how people can be proud of being so ignorant. Ditto. Oh, he just said the sky's green. Ditto. I believe anything I'm told. I don't want you to be like that. You also don't have to like what I'm saying. You're not required to like it. Okay, you may think I'm totally wrong, and I may be totally wrong. I'm not going to pretend, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm right all the time, because I'm not. There are things that I'm wrong, and if I really find that I'm wrong about something, now I try as hard as I can not to make any statements, not to make any comments, not to express any opinions that are way out of whack. But there are times when I'm wrong. And it happens. But, like I say, I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I did get some news today, and I want to continue on with what I was talking about before I was distracted by other things. I did get some news today. Now, I am working part-time at a photo lab, and I love my job. I love my work. And I love it because it really combines the two best aspects of my personality. That part of me that is a very good organizer, and that part of me that has a creative aspect of it. Working in a photo lab, I can produce prints and just take a look at it from a creative point of view. Hey, these are great pictures. I really love that. This is a great shot of the Grand Canyon. This is spectacular. I really love that. I really enjoy that. But obviously, for a lot of different reasons, the job that I'm holding now is simply not going to pay the bills. And I knew that going in there, but I also knew that it was only a part-time job at present. It might lead to something else. I would love to be able to buy this place out if I can ever get that kind of investment money. But at the very least, I would like to eventually become the shop manager of this place and go in there and take over and make, you know, not like crazy millions of dollars a year sums of money, but, hey, enough to pay the bills, pay the rent, you know. That would be very nice. I would enjoy that a great, great deal. And maybe, hey, you know, eventually, maybe if I do that kind of investment, I just become the owner, and then I'll just hire somebody really good to run the lab for me, and I'll slack off for the rest of my life. Let somebody else do the work for me, dagnabbit. That's what the right wing does. The right wing is not about hard work. The right wing is about getting somebody else to do the work for you, getting somebody else to do the killing for you, too. But I'm going to get to that in a little minute. But I got a call from the temp service Randstad, who some of you may be familiar with. They're a fairly large temp service here in this country, and they have another part-time job for me, perhaps. This would pay $11 an hour, and it would be I could fill in after I finish my regular job, and I'd be working maybe 10 hours a day, but that's cool. So I'd be making, 45, 50 hours a week, pulling in some extra dough. And it's the second job, actually, it would pay like $11 an hour, which is more than what I'm making at my regular part-time job, but it's really only seasonal. But that'll be good. That'll help me get back on my feet a little bit. I'm on the edge. I live on the edge. And I don't mean that to say I'm doing crazy, radical things. I hear people say, I see this stupid car commercial I saw where a guy's driving along the edge of a rooftop. I like to live on the edge. And it's like you're buying a car. Oh, yeah, he's on the edge. He's buying a car. He's really radical, man. He's really, these guys trying to pretend they're cool. You're really radical. You're buying that kind of car. You've got to be really radical. And I can just, who falls for that crap? That's what I want to know. Who's stupid enough to, look at that commercial. Oh, that guy's driving on the side of the building. I've got to get that car. I've got to try that. Some people fall for that. But, and I go for an interview for that tomorrow, so I'm gonna dress nice, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to take care of some business. And I have a job fair on Thursday, too, to try to get something. Even when you're working, you should always be looking for work in this day and age. When I was working at Siemens down in Atlanta, there were people who there had this manufacturing job. It was the type of job that used to be commonplace in this country. People made enough money to really support themselves, and they could be pretty sure of so long as they showed up to work and did a fairly decent job, that they could keep working there for a long period of time and then get a nice pension and retire. That's the way it used to be in America. It's not that way right now. Maybe it'll go back to that in the future. If everybody here works hard enough, that's fine. At any rate, there were people there who had been working 25, 30 years. There were actually people there who had been working at that shop for about as long as I had been born. I'm 45 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, could you imagine working at a place for 45 years? I mean, apart from people who have been in the entertainment industry for a long time, because, there's a lot of people who are like that. But could you imagine working a manufacturing job for 45 years? Imagine somebody starting a job out today when they're 20, 25 years old and thinking, when I'm 65, I'm still going to be working here. Can anybody make that statement today? Not many. Hang on a second. Let me get a drink here. Just water. Gotta wet the whistle. What's with the Quality News Network, by the way? They got gremlins. Have they got gremlins of right-wingers attacking their station? That's 2 days in a row they haven't been on. Hey, say we form an investigation. And then we'll all convene at some nice girl's house. And I'm just making this up as I go along. But hopefully, I can start getting on my feet financially a little bit more. Because God knows, I'm not making money off of this. Not that I'm not saying that it's Bob Kincaid's fault. And by the way, thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing the show tonight, as he does every night, as he works so very hard on the Head On Radio Network. And when I talk about myself believing in the things that I say in the show, you can say that for every single host here on the Head On Radio Network, because we're all great people. Every single one of us are great people. And we're really good. And we're really good. We do the job. But we don't get diddly from it. And that's an annoyance, and it makes us angry because it makes it difficult for us to continue. And it makes it difficult for me to continue. But, that's the way things are. We do this as we've always done this, and we'll keep doing it until we can't do it anymore, financially speaking. We do this because we feel compelled to do this. And that's very important for us. To do this. It is important for me. It's a good way for me to vent. It's a good way for you to vent. And you know what? Let me vent right into our first break. If you want to give me a call, if you got anything you want to talk about tonight, but let me get into my first subject because I do want to talk about this because it's very important. The number to call in if you want to call in, 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. Or the toll-free number, 877-443-2366. It's a Beatles break. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. It's our Halloween special featuring plenty of spectacular songs. We'll have some new music and Night Sounds dedications with Erica Richards. So don't miss it. It should be a thriller.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I mean, that's a humble host, Joe Vecchio. Voice of the working man, stinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the numbers to call in. 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453, if you've got one of them there, free long-distance plans, or if you've got a free cell phone minutes to call in, use that number if you can. If not, you can always use the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and I don't know why I'm talking like this. You can also visit us in the Head On Radio Network chat room. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the live chat link, and you can talk to some of the smartest people on the internet. We've got a nice crowd in there. We've got Bob Kincaid, my friend and boss, out there. I'm of course, there. Our good friend ELO, Frozen Soul, Latter J, On the Road, and Ralphs is there. And it got kind of quiet there for a second in the chat room, and I said, you know what, I show up and everybody leaves. Nobody's talking. And, you know, Bob said, did you bathe, Joe? And I said, you know, it's been hell on me since Microsoft unwrapped SmelloNet, that you can transmit odors via your modem. Boy, if that was really the case, IRC chat, nobody would ever go in there. because the stench would be overwhelming. It would be like Monty Python's killer joke. You turn on your computer, you hit the smell of net thing for the IRC channel, and just die. You just die. Yeah. And we're talking about doing streaming video here on the Head On Network, and oh my God, if it ever comes to that, if you guys could see me here, I could really I could show you my wonderful air mattress with my crumpled up sheets that's slightly deflated because the seams leak a little bit. I've got to fill it up every night. Sometimes I got to get up in 3 hours and refill it because it leaks that bit. And I don't have $25 to get a new air mattress. Isn't that a lovely way to live, ladies and gentlemen? But I didn't come to you tonight to talk about my air mattress. No, sir, I absolutely did not. And by the way, even if we do go video, I want to promise that I will never do a show naked. However, that does not prevent you from being naked listening. So if you're out there in your house just lounging around in your underwear, get your clothes off. Listen naked. What the hell do I care? Hey, nice mole. Nice tattoo on your butt. There is something I wanted to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, because every now and then a grave threat arises to your nation, to your world, to your culture, and that threat is here, according to some people. It's Islamofascism. Now, it matters not, it matters little, that the religion of Islam and fascism have absolutely nothing to do with each other. It matters not, ladies and gentlemen, because people have made that connection now. It's Islamofascism. This is a threat, apparently, according to some people, that is greater than the Nazi army during World War II. It is, no doubt, without a doubt, the greatest threat to humankind since the rise of European fascism. It matters not that the president of Iran is in a country that at best is 5 years from gaining a single nuclear weapon, and which it knows that if it does decide to use, that country will be turned into glass. And even a raging pacifist like me will just shake my head and say, dumbasses. But it matters not that they don't have this capability. It matters not that Iran spends like 1/600th or 1/60th of what we spend on their military, even as a percentage of national product. That they have no, they pose no real, actual military threat to the United States of America in any way, shape, or form, because you know what? Iraq posed no serious military threat to the United States of America in any way, shape, or form. They posed no threat at all. And to say that they could potentially have become a great threat is like saying if you let an ant live long enough, he could kill your cat or kill you. The comparison is ridiculous on its face. And yet, that's what the serious people of today are talking. We apparently were able to contain the Soviet Union, which had an army in the millions, seven figures, massive amounts of nuclear weapons that were capable of potentially blowing up the world multiple times over, tanks, airplanes, all right, not much of a navy, But the fact of the matter is, a major military power, excuse me, encompassing a large part of Europe and Asia. And we were able to contain that threat for what it was for half a century. And yet, the threat from Iran, the threat from Iraq, was so dire and so terrible and so awe-inspiring that we couldn't allow the United Nations a few more weeks to do arms inspections. The threat from Iran is so terrible and so horrible that we can't wait to attack them. We must attack them before God knows what happens to us. The threat from Al-Qaeda, which is composed of a few thousand members, even after the massive recruiting drive they've gone on ever since we invaded Iraq, which, by the way, is a main cause of terrorism now. Or I don't want to say that. That's not the right thing to say. But even this, despite all that, it was the greatest danger to us. We couldn't wait. We can't wait. And God knows what else we're going to do. The right wing needs an enemy. They need to ramp up a threat. Because of all the other things that they are, one of the things that they are is a protection racket. And you need to have somebody to protect you from. Now, all these guys were agog about, the war to end all wars. They wish they could have a World War II. They really do. They wish they could have something like that, something that tests themselves. Or, I should say this, they wish they could have something that maybe they might actually be inclined to join the military for. Because the other thing that these right-wingers all have in common is that they never seem to want to go out there and fight their own battles. I mentioned this last night on my show as I was finishing up. I was talking about how it's easy for people. My comment that made it onto a Paul Krugman's blog, how it's easy for people to be crazy and dangerous, because being crazy and childish and dangerous is very profitable. And I've burned within my own soul thinking about this from time to time. As I agonize in poverty and think about the air mattress that I have to fill up 2 or 3 times a night just so that I don't wind up like flubber trying to get out of it. And I think, what if I just started doing a right-wing show and ingratiate myself and get myself a little bit of that wing nut welfare? Because you know something? There are people out there making millions of dollars who are just idiots, who have no right being on any kind of radio show. I mean, you have the right to say what you want to say. No one doubts that. You have the right to say anything in this country that you want. And you have the right to believe anything that you want. But I also have the right to call BS on it. And some of you don't seem to understand that. This is important. These people have ramped up the threat of Iraq and Iran because it serves their purpose. Of course they're childish and dangerous. Being childish and dangerous gets them a lot of money. They don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. They don't have to worry about whether they can afford to pay their rent or not. They're not concerned with that at all, and why should there be? Why should they be? Who's stopping them? The question for me is, what kind of country are we going to have when we finally get rid of these guys and ladies? I remember Sally Field gave a speech recently when she won her Emmy, and she said, if mothers ruled the world, there'd be no damn wars. I'm not really sure about that anymore, because the women in the right-wing movement are just as insane as the men are. Does Ann Coulter have kids? I don't think so. Thank God for that. Can we sterilize her somehow? Can we get some like radiation or something and spray it in that area and make sure she's incapable of procreating? Is there some way we can do that? Can we let that gene pool die at that point? Good God Almighty. And Michelle Malkin the same way. How do these people get on TV? Yeah, she has the right to her opinion. She has the right to say what she wants to say. But you know what? She doesn't have the right to go on TV and be heard like that. And I'm perfectly happy letting people believe what they want to believe and letting them say what they want to say, and that's fine with me. But I have every right to tell them they're full of crap, and I have every right to say we're going to do everything we can to keep you out of power because you're insane. And because every time people like you are in power, you make things worse for everybody. They've raised the level of the threat from Islamic militant terrorists from something that's slightly dangerous and made it seem like it's a threat to our culture. It's not a threat to our culture. They pose no military threat. They pose no cultural threat. I live in a neighborhood full of Muslims. There is, in fact, a mosque not even a block away from here, a 50-foot walk or a 150-yard walk right outside my house. There is a mosque. There are Muslims all over the place here. Very nice, very quiet people. Well, not quiet. They're noisy. But they're no different from the immigrants, like the Italian immigrants who came in. They're no different. They're very nice people. I live around them, and I'm proud to live around them. I'm proud to live in this area of Chicago. And you know what? Just a few blocks over from this big Muslim neighborhood is a big Jewish neighborhood. Do they ever fight? Do they ever go at it against each other? No. And these aren't just... I'm not just talking about, you know, Jewish people in general. We're talking about Hasidic Jews. Very, very Orthodox. Extremely Orthodox. And yet everybody gets along. And it's remarkable how we conveniently forget our own Christian terrorists, the people who kill abortion doctors, the people who blow up government buildings because they believe that government is evil. They've been lied to. We're halfway through. If you want to call in and talk about this with me, I'm going to continue on this vein, but I've got other things to talk about too. If you want to give me a call in, give me a call. Ah! Put me back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Amazingly, George Bush keeps raiding the Treasury for more of our money to fight his unnecessary wars overseas, especially in Iraq. He just asked Congress on Monday for an additional $46 billion, which brings his total emergency war budget for next year to $196 billion, and that's on top of the already $700 billion that the Pentagon gets for its annual allowance. Bush acts like we can't keep track of it all, because last week he was saying we couldn't afford to spend $35 billion to give millions of children health care coverage. He's playing us for fools, and amazingly so are the Democrats. After campaigning on the pledge to end the war in Iraq, now they just shell out more money every time Bush comes knocking. Their primary power under the Constitution is the power of the purse, but they've handed their purse over to Bush, and he keeps digging in it for more billions. And even though the war is very unpopular, and even though Bush is more unpopular than that, the Democrats still can't find the strength to defund the war. That's why they are as complicit now as the Republicans in the squandered lives and plundered treasure and tattered reputation that are the emblems of this bipartisan Iraq war. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, the horn.
Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bad Moon Rising. Oh, I love that song. Creedence Clearwater was a great group. And we got Billy Shears, speaking of great music. Billy Shears has just joined us in the Head On Radio Network chat room. His show is absolutely awesome. He's got a wonderful voice. He's got great taste in music. Although I was very surprised in that promo to hear him playing Thriller. Billy Shears seems more of a 60s, 70s music kind of guy. But I love that album. The whole Thriller album is a great album. And I have a lot of respect for Michael Jackson. You know, I've got a lot of respect for musicians. And people talk about, you know, all this crazy, you know, all the crazy things that musicians do. So, particularly when they talk about Michael Jackson, who, you know, does things a little strangely, and that's, you know, but to me, that's his prerogative. Considering that the childhood he had to deal with, that he couldn't really enjoy himself. He was working very hard since he was a little kid. So I allow him a lot of leeway as to what he can and can't get away with. Prince is the same way. You know, a lot of people got on Prince's case when he stopped using his name and just started using that symbol and wanted to call himself the artist and all that stuff. And I had already had a lot of respect for Prince because the man's a remarkably talented musician, plays God knows how many instruments, 60, 70, I don't know, he plays so many instruments. Then I found out that he did that for copyright reasons. There was a legal battle with the... with the record companies, and of course we all know what a bunch of bastards really run a lot of the record companies, the RIAA in particular, you know, people who just launch frivolous lawsuits against people for downloading a couple of songs. I mean, get real, people. When I found out that when it became clear after he had to do it for a few years until his contract ran out, I had tons more respect for him after that. Tons more. And whenever people talk to me about the crazy things that musicians do, I always remind them of the story of Odysseus at the end of the Odyssey, when Odysseus comes back home after being away for God knows how long. I can't remember, it was 10 years or so. And all those people there trying to get his wife to marry them so they could basically inherit his estate. And when Odysseus came back, he and his son Telemachus killed them all, but there were two left. Well, killed almost all of them. There were two left at the end. One was a priest and one was a musician, and they both begged for their lives. And Odysseus killed the priest and let the musician live. Odysseus' reasoning was that the priest never did anybody any good anyway, but the musician had talents that were gifts from the gods, and he had no right to take that away. And That's, I love that story. And I love that. So Michael Jackson, I have a ton of respect for you. You're a talented musician. You produce so many, you know, the Jackson 5, if you listen to their music from back in the 60s and 70s, they were doing stuff that was way ahead of its time. The type of music they were doing, you really couldn't categorize it. Because it really, it wasn't really R&B, it wasn't really soul, it wasn't really rock and roll, it was his own thing. Songs like I Want You Back and ABC and the beautiful ballads like I'll Be There and Michael with that wonderful, wonderful voice. And then he hits solo when he comes out with Thriller. And before that with the, damn it, I can't remember the name, Dangerous, I think it was. Oh, and Billy's saying that he's using the Thriller track was because it's Halloween. Okay, great enough, good enough. But when Thriller came out, we were like, oh my God, where did this come from? There are albums, there are rock albums that come out every now and then, once every 10 years, 15 years or so, that just hit and you think, oh my God, where did that come from? The first Boston album was like that. And of course, Sgt. Pepper, the ultimate, because that was stuff that nobody had been doing before. The Beatles had already kind of started doing, different type of music when they started with Rubber Soul, but Sgt. Pepper was just so different from anything else that had been done. And I remember the Southerners getting mad at John Lennon, who was, you know, because of his religious views, you know, so we're bigger than Jesus, you know. I remember the Simpsons when they did their Beatles spoof and they were doing the barbershop quartet and Lisa asked Homer, "Gee, Dad, you didn't do anything stupid like say you were bigger than Jesus?" And Homer said, "Yeah, in fact, that was the name of our second album, the B Sharps Bigger Than Jesus." Anyway, Lennon did the exact quote I think was that they were more popular or were able to reach more people than Jesus, and I think that's more correct. I wasn't old enough to really get involved with it, but the Southerners were like, "Let's go out there. We're gonna burn your Beatles albums." By the way, some people don't know this, but Chicago was the site of one of the most famous music incidents in the country in the 70s. There was anti-disco night at Comiskey Park here in Chicago. I forget the name of the DJ that sponsored. It was a local disc jockey who absolutely couldn't stand disco. So he had everybody bring disco albums to a Chicago White Sox game. It was a doubleheader. And in between games of the doubleheader, they built a big old bonfire or a big old pile out of these disco albums. And this is before CDs. This is albums, vinyl. And he blew the crap out of them. And the mess was so bad and the devastation was so bad, they wound up having to cancel the second game of the doubleheader. But it was on the news. I think if you just go to YouTube, I bet you if you do a search for it on YouTube, you can find a video of it. It was really funny. Anyway, I got off on that music tangent there because Billy showed up, and he is really a great addition. He's really a great addition to us at the Head On Radio Network. Now, I want to continue on with what I was talking about Islamofascism. And the reason I brought it all up tonight is because there have been a bunch of stories about that, because the right wing in particular is ramping everything up. But the real reason I started to talk about it, because apparently this week is Fascism Awareness Week. But I want to talk about what fascism really is. Because what they talk, you know, they say Islamofascism. And of course, they always get upset when we compare... Excuse me. Oh, man, I need a cough button here. They always get upset. The right wing always gets upset when we compare some of the things that they do and how they are similar to things that real fascists have done. But they're perfectly willing to throw out these terms, you know, feminazis. You know, even though it has absolutely no basis in realities. Let me, for those of you who are not familiar with what fascism is, let me give you a small education about it. What it is, what the origin is, what the word means, and what its basic political tenets are. First of all, the word itself, a lot of people assume it's a German word, because when we talk about fascism, when people talk about fascism, usually what they're thinking of are the poster child for fascism, which is Nazi Germany. That's what they usually think of. But fascism is an Italian term. It was actually the word coined by Mussolini, the Italian dictator, and he used it to refer to what was called the fascis, F-A-S-C-E-S, which is a bundle of sticks, usually with an axe inside of it, which was the symbol of Roman authority. Basically, it meant the bundle of sticks is stronger as a group than the individual. But it was a symbol of Roman authority. If you've ever seen the movie Cleopatra, Anthony and Cleopatra, Rex Harrison and Liz Taylor, there's a sequence where Julius Caesar is entering to give some edicts, and there's a couple of guys carrying these big bundles with the eagle on top, and they got the rod, you know, they got the sticks and the axe sticking out. Those are the fascists. Any Roman soldier or anybody who was making any decorations had to have somebody with those things there. Otherwise, it wasn't official to a certain extent. But that is the origin of the term fascism. And Mussolini, who coined the term, and he said it correctly so, and I'm not saying, you know, that Mussolini was a great guy. Don't get me wrong on that. But what I'm saying is he said fascism ought to be really called corporatism, because what it is a merging of the corporate state and the government. And that's, you know, that's basically, from an economic point of view, that is basically what fascism is. And fascism uses religion, like many people use religion, to maintain their hold on power. And it's a belief that it's really, from a political point of view, what it really is just the struggle to win all the time. It's a purely political power play is what they do politically. They're not interested in consequences. But the main gist, that's not the right word. I'll search for the right word. You know me. I just kind of, you know, I make this stuff up as I go along half the time. But from an economic point of view, fascism is basically, as Mussolini pointed out, an emerging of the corporation and the state. And it's very obviously pro-corporate, with the idea that corporations are our people, our living creatures, and their rights supersede the rights of everybody else. It's very anti-labor, very anti-union, which is why they fight communism, because communism is basically unions gone mad, at least to a certain extent. That's not a correct analogy, but that's basically it. It's still a bunch of morons who want a little more power than they deserve. It's just a different group of morons, what communism is. But fascism is very nationalistic, and nationalism is different from patriotism. A lot of people who call themselves patriots here in America are not patriots, they're nationalists. They believe that America is not only their personal favorite country, but they believe that America is the greatest country in the world, and they believe that America is so great that America has the right to do anything it wants to anybody at any given time, which is how we wind up in Iraq. They do it because they can, because they can get away with it. I don't have it in front of me now. There are basically 16, what's the word? There are 16 characteristics of a fascist state. Control of the press, either directly or indirectly. And if you listen to the American professional media, who live in their own little bubbles, and who love the right wing because, you know, they're really, where are the people you want to have a beer with? You know, we don't want to have a beer with them Democrats. Oh, that Al Gore, what a phony. Never mind that he's right about everything. I don't like Al Gore. I like George Bush. I'll have a beer with him. You know, and that's apart from those who, you know, who are in a, you know, as I say about people who vote Republican, the ones, there are really only three types of people who vote Republican, the ones who are in on the scam, the ones who want to be in on the scam, and the ones who aren't aware they're being scammed. It's the first group that I'm really concerned with here, because it really all is basically a scam. But it's a scam in order to get power and to get money, to make everybody absolutely filthy rich, or at least a few people up on top. Anyway, the hell with the rest of us. But it's very nationalistic. And these people here, the flag wavers, the guys who, you know, you gotta wear the little flag lapel pin on your, the flag pin on your lapel. You gotta do that. And it's really no different from the people who carried around Chairman Mao's little red book. You show, here, I'm a good communist. Here's my little red book right here. Never mind that they probably never even read it. You know, it is a symbol. You worship the flag, you worship the symbols, you worship the eagle, or at least you worship the symbol of the eagle. If you're a true blue American like that, you go out and hunt the eagles because hunting's good. Hunting's American. You know what I'm saying? Bob is correcting me on my history, Bob Kincaid. Telling me that the fascists were carried by lictors, a number of whom were assigned to a Roman politician, depending on his station. That's true, but in general, you know what I'm talking about. The fascists were the symbol of Roman authority. But we are currently living in, we're in a proto-fascist state at this point. We're not fully fascist yet. We've gotten to one point, September 11th, you know, 9/11, that was our Reichstag. For those of you who aren't aware of this, I'll explain it again. You should be familiar with this part of history anyway. The Reichstag is essentially the German Congress, the German government building. And it was burned to the ground very early in Adolf Hitler's tenure as chancellor. And, of course, Hitler gave his little speech, like George Bush gave his little bullhorn speech, saying, oh, it's the terrorists, it's the liberals, it's the communists, blah, blah, blah. And I would need more power in order to deal with this threat. And it hasn't happened in all the fascist nations, but it's a really good way for a government to grab more power. Have something happen like that, either be involved with it directly, and we discovered, of course, later on that the Nazis were responsible for burning down the Reichstag in, for that very reason. There's a lot of people who believe that the government had an actual hand in the American government had an actual hand in 9/11, and I don't necessarily believe that much. I certainly believe that they knew something was going to happen, and that they did allow it to happen for that very reason, because they knew that they could pretty much do anything they want. Excuse me. Trying to fight a cough there, or sneeze, I should say. Now, we haven't had our Kristallnacht yet, and Kristallnacht was the night they went and killed all the Jews. If there's another terrorist attack on this country, they have been slowly and patiently building up a big police state. And if you look at the way things are going, I mean, Cops was a show that was really on the air just like in the 80s and 90s or so, and it was popular. But if you look at that show and you look at how the cops act most of the time, and you see how cops act when you're talking about the news. Here in Chicago, they've had several publicized instances where cops just went crazy and started beating the crap out of people. And the more and more militant the police are getting and how they treat with the general public, a bigger reliance on mercenaries, like in Iraq right now. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Blackwater mercenaries outnumber American soldiers. But it's all part of a police state that's been slowly and patiently being built up. How far they plan on going with this, I have no idea. Will we be with war with Iran before the year is out? God, I hope not. The situation is very, very bad right there, right now. You've got the Turks perhaps ready to invade northern Iraq to deal with Kurdish invaders, Kurdish terrorists going into Turkey. You've got all the saber rattling against Iran, which scares the hell out of me. But mostly what scares me is that we have an American public that doesn't seem to really care about much of anything. I mean, yeah, there's us fighting the cause, doing what we can without any real support. But mostly, unfortunately, we're out here preaching to the choir. I love doing my show, but who is my show reaching? Mostly people who agree with me, mainly. I'm sure there's a few right-wingers out there, and if you're out there, poor bastards. Poor dumb bastards. But most Americans just don't care. Why should they? They've got no reason to. They're worried about their own lives. They've got their own stuff to deal with. They can't be worried about this and that and that and this. They got a job to do. The right-wingers, of course, are well taken care of, well fed, never have to worry, like I mentioned earlier, never have to worry about paying the rent, never have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. Lots of money for them. Just like George Bush has lots of money to go to war and is always asking for more. And yet when Congress passes a law that says we need to put more children, give more children insurance so they can get the medical care they need, say, well, we really can't afford that. Never mind that program is maybe one-tenth of what he's been asking to kill people in Iraq. It really, anybody who's paying even the mildest part of amount of attention realizes that what Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney, his, you know, the whole administration, the Republican leadership and their financial backers, what they've done is basically a crime, a war crime, punishable at the very least by imprisonment. And if somebody wants to get real, you know, severe about it, you know, execution. Now, let me say this. I am not in favor of capital punishment. I don't know. I don't want to say I never have been because I can't recall what I used to think about the subject. But I am not in favor of capital punishment in general. However, I've always said that if we're going to have that, if that's what we're going to do, let's make sure we have some very, very strict rules and follow them to the letter so that we don't, you know, execute an innocent person.